touch that dial.
This is The Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot.
On 92.9 The Game.
We are in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting, Clean. So this comes from Jeremy Fowler. He is the senior NFL national reporter for ESPN. And the worldwide leader surveyed league executives, coaches, and scouts to help them rank the top 10 players at 11 different positions, from quarterback to cornerback and all the positions in between. So this is the fifth edition of those rankings. And
it's list season.
It's list season at one. This is for running backs. They have Christian McCaffrey, we all know, 49ers. And then Breece Hall for the Jets. Nick Chubb, the Browns. Saquon Barkley, the Eagles. Jonathan Taylor for the Colts. At six, you have Bijan Robinson for your Falcons. Seven, Josh Jacobs with the Packers. Jahmyr Gibbs with the Lions. Derrick Henry with the Ravens. And Travis Etienne of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Bijan's coming in at six here. There are some honorable mentions as well, but we don't do that on this show. I'm just kidding. Only Mike does that.
Yeah, I'm not a big honorable mention guy. I just
those receiving votes, like for college football rankings.
So if you want to know the honorable mentions, Aaron Jones, Kenneth Walker III, Isaiah Pacheco, James Cook, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, and DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, all good running backs. What do you think? Let's not start with Bijan first. Christian McCaffrey, I think, is clearly the number one running back.
Clearly. Even his peers would probably agree,
yes.
I would think.
The Breece Hall, Nick Chubb thing, I think Breece Hall is a very, very good running back.
Oh, yeah.
Injury derailed his first season, but he was going off. Last year, he did come back and had a pretty decent season. Saquon Barkley at four. Now, Nick Chubb's three. I have no problem.
Are you saying they're just riding on Saquon, what he did in the past?
I think Saquon is a very talented player, but I think he's still living on what he did at Penn State.
I'd put Jahmyr Gibbs ahead of him. I like Jahmyr Gibbs.
I don't disagree. You know what? I think Jahmyr Gibbs could be up there. Yeah, I don't disagree.
So it's almost like this list is a combination of who has that proven track record, like recently with Christian McCaffrey, and then also it's factored in with the belief of what someone can do. And I look at that with Saquon Barkley now with him behind the Eagles offensive line. That's maybe what the line of thinking is.
Yeah. How much does Derrick Henry have left in the tank?
A lot.
I don't know, because I think Derrick Henry doesn't feel like the running, he's obviously not falling off the cliff yet, but he doesn't feel like one of those guys. He feels more like an Adrian Peterson type player, that he can go longer than most running backs. And you know what? In Baltimore,
I think it should work. You would assume it would work.
He's not going to have to carry the ball 40 times a game up there like he did in Tennessee.
Yeah. That'll
probably prolong his career, I would imagine.
Now, let me ask. Well, yeah, and Josh Jacobs going to Green Bay, I think, could be good. Travis Etienne, he might be a little high, honestly. I'm a big Etienne fan, but for what he's done so far, I think he might be a little high. Actually, him being over Aaron Jones, I would kind of question. Now, Bijan, you go back and you look, he finished 15th last year in rushing with 976 yards as a rookie. But then you go look at his receiving numbers, and he had 487 yards on 58 catches. That was fourth among running backs. Fourth in receiving yards among running backs. That he had 8 touchdowns on the year total, 4 receiving, 4 rushing. So that's clearly why he is at the sixth place.
Well, and I'll tell you, too, this is what Fowler had to say, the reasoning why. And it said Robinson didn't quite validate the hype as a rookie. His 976 rushing yards in 2023, which tied for 15th in the league, fell short of projections for the number 8th overall pick in a run-heavy offense. So Fowler goes on to say, to be sure, Robinson's usage, despite his obvious ability to shake defenders, was curious at times. He said Robinson got more than 15 carries in 4 of 17 games. So he said the production's not all on him. He's a top 5 talent at the position right now. That's what won. that last part I just said is what one NFL
personnel. It was good
personal,
he put that qualifier in there because I like the way, odd usage?
Yeah, that's how. That's what Fowler put it, yeah.
That's what we're dealing with the Falcons last year.
It was odd usage. He didn't even play in that one game because of the headache. But I do
believe.
Yeah,
that was a weird thing, the headache. I don't know. But
well,
now, old news, whatever.
Now, this from an NFL offensive coach. So all these people weighing in are obviously staying anonymous. But it says, if he gets to the second or third level, he's incredibly hard to tackle. Deceptive speed once he gets loose. He reminds me of LeSean McCoy. Very elusive, really hard to touch him again. That is what one NFL offensive coach said.
Well, look, none of that's wrong. I just believe that Arthur was saving him. For what he was saving him for, I don't know if it was this year. It clearly wasn't last year in the playoffs or anything because that wasn't happening. But I feel like Arthur tried to save him at times. I think Bijan is going to be... You know, I was reading about the Christian McCaffrey thing, and the Christian McCaffrey thing, at the end of the day, is going to go down.
Are you talking about the comparison between the
well,
two?
Well, I'm just talking about his trade to San Francisco
and
what he's done since he went. Remember, he wasn't healthy in Carolina for a couple years. He gets traded in the middle of 22.
Well, we had the workload of Derrick Henry.
He had to do everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was the only option.
He was also catching balls that were so high that he was getting tattooed in the midsection constantly, but that's another story. But
those blood and the urine hits.
He was his usage, but he's mixing that offense, and it's a perfect fit. That's not that different of an offense, if at all, than what Bijan is going to be involved in with Zach Robinson.
Remember, some reporter asked him, you know, you might be deployed the way Christian McCaffrey is. A similar thing, and his eyes certainly lit up. He goes, oh, yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah, well, yeah, and to that point.
Raheem Morris talked about it, too. Mm-hmm. They all were kind of talking about, you know what, they envision him being like a Christian McCaffrey. I will point out, too, that last year Robinson led the league with 5.2 yards per carry against boxes of seven or more defenders, and his 35 explosive plays ranked third for running backs.
Yeah, I think his hard-nosed running is a little bit underrated. I think the fact that he's actually a better runner inside the tackles, and I think it's not that people don't give him credit for, but it's just not what people, you know, ooze over when they talk about Bijan Robinson.
When you think of him being maybe catching passes out of the backfield or being shifty and then, you know, being explosive, not necessarily plowing people over like a Derrick Henry, but he does clearly.
But he can lower his shoulder, but not to that extent.
Yeah,
nobody has a stiff arm of Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry's.
Do you have a problem with Nick Chubb being three coming off the injury?
Yes. And I love Nick Chubb. But yeah, coming off certainly, yeah.
I think three and I just think Saquon Barkley, as good as he is, hasn't really been the player that we expected him to be. You know, for all the hype that he had coming out, I mean, he's had injuries
though.
But then the injuries kind of
he's played one full season in his entire career, and that was in
isn't that a crazy stat?
In 18, yeah.
Wild.
I mean, now look, sometimes you can give guys off. Now, he's had a couple of thousand yards. I mean, his 2022 was great. But you saw where the Giants valued their money, whether it was right or wrong, they valued it in the quarterback position, which is honestly that Hard Knocks, the offseason. Rob, I watched that offseason version of Hard Knocks, which started last week with the Giants. I think there's another episode tonight, I believe. But I watched it, and I was just blown away with how good it was. But at the end of the episode, the whole episode, a lot of it was about Saquon Barkley's future. And the GM's got all his scouts in there, and he goes, hey, you know, what do you guys think? And one guy goes, well, I mean, what's our offensive identity without Saquon Barkley? And the GM goes, well, I've got a $40 million quarterback. You know, if I'm paying you $40 million, you should be more than handing it off to a $12 million running back. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. But that's where the value is. I just don't know what they are losing Jason Kelce this year, the Eagles. Does that affect that offensive line? Because that's one of the most vital pieces.
That's, yeah.
Of course. And he was special the way he could run, too.
But you still have Lane Johnson there. But
you do.
Yes, but you have your center's gone, and that's the kind of linchpin.
Yeah, that veteran leadership, right? That guy that the center is kind of Mike always says the closer you get to the ball, the smarter you are.
Mm-hmm.
Every play. So the center and your quarterback are your smartest guys, right? Mm-hmm. On the in your offense, that's kind of the guys you think are that know everything the most. I just can't say that Saquon Barkley is the fourth best running back in the NFL because I need to see consistency, and I don't feel like he's been consistently great. Now, you could say that Bijan Robinson's overrated. I do think a lot of this is on talent and
well, you could say that about guys like Jahmyr Gibbs had one good year, but he's a rookie.
Yeah.
It just depends on how you want to stack your list. And again, this list is a combination
exactly.
of McCaffrey what have you done for me lately? Well, he's done a whole heck of a lot. And then you wonder about Saquon, but he is getting his fresh start now in Philadelphia.
You talk about guys that might not hold up. Isaiah Pacheco, who is an honor. Yeah, he's an honorable mention. He's the third honorable mention. Whatever. I guess that makes him 13th on the list. You want a guy that runs hard, is shifty, has a little bit of an acceleration. But I don't know how. I mean, he's not a big dude, Rob. He might be my size, height, yep. And he's obviously thicker.
Also patience too. Yes. Remember that was the remember Mike went on and on about Bijan last year. The patience, just kind of wait a beat or two, and then something's going to open up rather than just plow forward.
Yeah,
and I think that comes with experience.
Oh,
as
it
well.
Does, of course. Yeah.
But maybe Derrick Henry's too low on the list. I'm not. Having him at 9.
Based on experience, you just never go against Derrick. You never go against Derrick Henry or doubt him because you just don't.
Let me tell you something. You could say, hey, you could look like any running back in the NFL. Who would you look like? I'd be like Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, man.
It was funny. I think I've told this before, but Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry were both on the Titans at the same time and just standing next to to both of them, and then even watching both of them stand next to each other
like,
at practice.
You're a running back? What?
Like it's crazy. He's like linebacker size.
Yep.
So anyway, but yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised if it doesn't pan out in Baltimore. Like that's where I would come from on it. Like I would be shocked if he's not putting up numbers in Baltimore. Granted, he doesn't have to do everything.
Right.
But that's an offense that he should definitely fit into.
Did Derrick Henry's arrival, I don't necessarily believe the question I'm about to ask, but I just want to get other input. Did that put Baltimore as the team to beat in the AFC?
It didn't hurt.
Yeah, it did not hurt.
But I mean, was that...
This is on Lamar and his decision-making in the playoffs, and also their offensive coordinator who seemed to abandon what was working for them in that playoff game, too.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that that was a loss that was solely on our offense.
Yep.
But it wasn't all on Lamar. I mean, you had other guys that didn't. But Todd Monken's usage of his best players didn't seem to fit the bill of what they should
do. It seems like he abandoned what made him successful.
Yeah.
Because coaches just, they overthink things. They want to be so clever. And Arthur Smith suffered from that.
Yeah, that's true.
He was an overthinker.
I hope he overthinks it week one.
Right.
All right, when we come back, we're going in the huddle and which player is in favor of an 18-game schedule. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Getting your day started.
Go ahead.
With The Morning Shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In the air, right center field.
Sean Murphy coming up big for the Braves. And, of course, that was Brandon Gaudin on the call, courtesy of Bally Sports.
That was the sound of a clutch hit, Rob.
A clutch hit as the Braves rally to come back and beat the Diamondbacks 5-4 in 11 innings. Marcelo Ozuna drove in the decisive run with a sac fly in the 11th.
I think Matt Olson might have saved that game last night with that catch. Back to the infield, chasing a foul ball, had the presence of mind to spin around and from his knee get the ball to play to keep the runner from tagging.
His glove lately has been phenomenal. He had a play in the first inning that Corbin Carroll hit, where an Elder just beat him to the bag because Corbin Carroll's got a speedster. Olson's glove has been like after I don't know what the hell happened to them Friday night where they just collapsed defensively like that. What was it like the sixth inning or whatever?
Yeah, three errors. I think I was texting you.
We were
texting Mike. I go, this is a clown show.
Yeah.
Back to Matt Olson, though, and you're talking about the play that he had, Rob. Well, Sean Murphy pretty much called it the play of the game.
I mean, it was spectacular. No, I was thinking, like, oh, man, I kind of want to let that one drop. But he had the wherewithal to slide and make that throw. I mean, got enough on it, too. You know, we held the runner. That was the play of the game. I mean, that saved a run right there.
And that is a thing. You know, sometimes am I better off just letting this thing drop?
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, well, let's get the out, and I'm going to spin around and get it to the plate and keep the guy from tagging.
Just phenomenal. Look, the timely clutch hitting is something that we just haven't seen enough of this year. They had it last night when it counted the most with Sean Murphy, who, look, he's got 5 home runs since he came back. You want to talk about guys playing like the you know who's carrying the team lately from the plate? Austin Riley, what was it like June 13th or something this year had 3 home runs. Now he's got 12.
Right.
He's hit 9 in a month. He's been pretty freaking hot from there. His glove has been pretty good for them. Again, other than whatever that debacle was Friday night with Murphy and Olson and Riley, and they just couldn't get it together.
Nope.
But they have been – Austin Riley has been playing at a very high level, but they broke a 28-game streak, losing streak,
yeah,
of when the opponent has scored 4 more runs, they've lost, and that was just not the team we got used to the last couple of years.
And how did Riley – I mean, that was a pitch up and in that he hit – over the wall in center field. And what is it, 413 to center,
yeah,
in Arizona. So that's an absolute bomb. I don't know how he was able to hit that out of center field because it's up and in. It's actually not a bad pitch.
When you're locked in, Rob.
When you're locked in, brother.
That's right.
Let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
With In the Huddle, brought to you by the Good Feet Store Premium Art Supports. Learn more at goodfeet.com on the morning shift.
What do you guys think of an 18-game schedule?
I think greedy.
Yeah, a little greedy. As a fan, sure.
Sounds like you're trying to make up lost revenue, maybe from a lawsuit.
Let's get the player perspective. We will get the player perspective because Joe Burrow, the Bengals quarterback, he joined Part of My Take.
It'd be cool to do a normal bi-week schedule that it is now, like have it spread out. But then like week 13, do like the Pro Bowl break where you're doing like the 7-on-7 and all the skills challenges like the NBA does, because I think that would get more ratings for the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
And then it would also give everybody that bye week going into like the last 6 games. Yes. Guys that are injured that would be able to potentially come back, and you want your best players out there as a league. You want them in the last 6 weeks of the season. You want your best players on the field. So I think that would be a smart idea.
You disagree, Joe Burrow. You're shaking your head vehemently over
this. This is how he would format an 18-game
It's a schedule. Stupid idea. The bye week, everyone wants it 1 week. That's fine. You know what? Do it a week where college football has their playoff games and they can do Saturday and Sunday. That part's fine. But this idea of the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season.
Just scrap
first
that
off,
thing.
Nobody's sending their guys to potentially get hurt in a 7-on-7. Yep. No player is going to want to go because they're all injured by week 13 and they want to rest. That's the whole point of a freaking bye week. If you're doing that, you don't get it. That idea is brutally bad. If you want to take a bye week in week 13, if you have an 18-game schedule, I am all for it.
I got no problem with that. Yeah.
Do it. Let college football have that weekend. It could be, you know, games on Saturday, Sunday. You don't have to do a Friday night game. That's a phenomenal idea. That
just forget anything
but
Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl crap thrown in there is garbage because no one, Tiffany, you talked. These guys are banged up. They don't want to do that.
It's different than other sports. So
yeah,
it's more
stupid.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not gonna.
You're
say
not
it's
saying
stupid.
It's stupid. I'm
but
saying that.
I am gonna say yeah. A lot of guys are banged up and probably I don't know would not be in favor of this. But he's approaching it like what the MLB All-Star break. The NBA All-Star break, WNBA All-Star, you know, that's the kind of philosophy I see that what he's trying to do. I don't know if you can apply that to the game of
just have the bye week, get rid of anything Pro Bowl. Is anybody even paying attention to that anymore? Who cares?
I don't think so. And look, I understand. Look, he was asked the question for to be completely upfront. He was asked the question, probably didn't know he was getting asked the question, and it was probably like, yeah, well, this would be cool. And you know, your brain.
No,
starts
he's answered
firing.
That question before, like a month or two ago.
That same exact way.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
Never
if
mind.
I can't remember if he did the Pro Bowl thing, but he did talk about a universal bye week for everybody.
Well, then if he had, well, then if he had the Pro Bowl, then never mind. That's just a bad take because. How many guys opt out now? Imagine when their season is still going and they know that there are bonuses on the line if they can stay healthy the rest of the year. All these
he
things.
Didn't think that completely through, but his thoughts in the right place with the universal bye week on week 13.
No issue with that whatsoever.
Look, Joe is doing cool stuff. It's Joe Cool. It's Joe Burrow. He's modeling in the Vogue World Fashion Show. With the that suit was, I don't know if you saw the suit, the backless.
Yeah, that's kind of,
you know, but
I understand you're supposed to be a little avant-garde with fashion, but there's nothing functional about that. It's just a moving art exhibit, but it's nothing practical.
What I enjoy most about him is he's brought back, and he's been rocking this haircut for a while, but it's very much the 90s Boy Meets World haircut.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin haircut.
Not unlike what you see here, although I didn't do my hair today. So.
Yes, you know,
you gotta get the little S curl going. Yep. Sometimes he has a little curl going on his forehead.
He was also asked in that podcast if he could win a Super Bowl next year, but he had to retire, or have five straight MVPs and not win that Super Bowl. What would he do? And he got every clarification he could on the question, and says, "Do I get to keep playing after the fifth MVP year?" And the guy goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, then I'm going to bet on myself to win the Super Bowl in the sixth year because I don't want to retire yet."
See?
We have breaking news from Mike Bell. Burrow was reacting to Dell and league stance, reportedly. But Joe Burrow did express that thought himself independently, I believe, but he didn't say anything about the Pro Bowl. He said about the universal. So thanks for listening, Mike Bell.
Yeah. Hey, Mikey, how you doing? I have no issue with the universal. No one's going to the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season. Half of them don't go when it's at the end of the season. It would just be more of a joke. I don't think it makes any sense. Plus, you just let it be college football's weekend.
You're all about protecting college football's territory. I'm not saying anything's wrong
I am
with
too.
It. I know that you're very adamant about it.
I'm a huge college football
fan. I care
guy.
More about it than I do the NFL outside the Falcons.
All right. Well, this story, Jerry Hughes, the defensive end for the Texans, is returning for a 15th season. So this will be his third with the Texans. He appeared in all 17 games the past two seasons with 18 starts. He had 16 starts in 2022, but he will turn 36 next month. He has 70 total sacks over the course of his career so far.
I mean,
longevity.
Still feels like he can play.
It's like Calais. I talked to a team guy, like a doctor, I think it was like middle of the season last year, and I was talking about Calais, and they said, if you know all the things this guy has to do before and after games to play, and that's probably exactly the same for a guy like Jerry Hughes, who played all 18 games last year.
Now, hyperbaric chamber.
I mean.
In a dark room.
The treatments they go through, and I'm sure that D'Amico Ryan's being the coach he is, and very understanding of what players go through. He'll have let him have like a veteran day off in the week, like they did play us last year.
When we come back, there's a little twist to today, which, by the way, this hour brought to you by Zero Res, Smart, Lasting, Clean. Dylan, you have a top five Tuesday for us?
I do.
According to the rundown?
That is. You are correct about that, Tiffany.
Make sure you keep on time with this tease. Hurry up.
I will. It is inspired by a national day, and I'm going to switch it up a little bit for Top 5 Tuesday. One thing that's near and dear to my heart is food, and this will be a food-inspired Top 5 Tuesday.
Awesome. All right. Better be good. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Than just sports talk. This is the Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the Morning Shift.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift, and usually this is the time when you hear the soft voice of Mike Johnson, or maybe even
we're
Robbie
dialed
T.
up with Dylon. Yep, you know what? Let's tell people how things work. You know, this is something I was supposed to go. Can you do this?
You're like,
I was tired. I got another gig I have to do. I was tired. Dylon, can you just do this?
And I got you.
I was thrown off to start the segment because I kept looking at Tiffany to bring us back, and then you start talking, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here?
Why would I talk? Go on, Dylon. Carry on.
Anywho, I am going to come in, and I'm going to bring you all a Top 5 Tuesday. Mike Johnson usually does a great job with these lists, but today I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path when it comes to a Top 5 list. Mike usually goes somewhere in the sports realm. He has done, I believe, one, maybe two food top fives before, if I'm not mistaken. But I wanted to go with the food top five today.
I tried that time tonight.
Oh, and then you started with number one.
I started with number one.
Yeah,
do you have honorable mentions? Where is the food? What kind of food? What is...
So, I'm glad you asked that question, Bo. In honor of National Sugar Cookie Day today, I'm going to go with a
cookie. Awful national holiday.
Top five. Yeah, the national holidays are fun.
We always have days for something.
We're already ripping your top five.
No, well, you don't know if sugar cookies are in the top five or not.
Okay,
That's for me to know and you to find out. It's my favorite cookie. So
sugar cookie is?
No, I don't. Well, you got to find out. Wait, you got to find out.
I'm sorry, dude. We'll all keep cutting. Keep going. We're
butchering it. You all can tweet at me at @_DylonMatthews. Tweet at the show account on X as well, or Twitter, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, post it on there. Make sure
you post it on there. At 929 Morning Shift. I will post it there, the top five list. I'll put the honorable mentions on there as well. And I will start, as a matter of fact, with the honorable mentions that I have. So I'll just roll these off real quick, and you guys keep your thoughts on the honorable mentions afterwards. In honorable mentions, I have oatmeal raisin. Not because... I don't really like raisins, but oatmeal raisin cookie is okay.
You know what? I like oatmeal raisin cookie.
And I know they're popular, so I put it in honorable mention.
My grandmother used to make homemade oatmeal cookies, but she always had a chocolate chip in the middle.
That's a chocolate chip. Yeah. Well, it was oatmeal cookies.
Yeah, it was oatmeal raisins, but they had one chocolate chip in the middle. It was perfect.
That's
like one giant chocolate chip.
Yeah, pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would actually be down to try that. So oatmeal raisin is an honorable mention. Snickerdoodles, those are honorable mentions as well. Good snickerdoodle is pretty good, in my opinion. I'm not a huge fan of like ginger stuff. So like ginger snaps are okay to me if it's not too gingery. But I put a ginger snap on there.
I'm desperate.
Shortbread cookies and then lemon cookies. I have a quick story about lemon cookies, by the way. When I was in Michigan, a week or so ago, my uncle's fiance brought over some lemon cookies that she handmade. I don't usually like lemon desserts, but when I tell you that was the absolute best lemon cookie I've ever had in my entire life. It wasn't too lemony. It was a perfect amount of lemon, perfect amount of like sugar cookie
perfect
as
ratio.
Well. It was the perfect ratio. It was such a good lemon cookie. But those are the honorable mentions. Oatmeal raisins, snickerdoodles, ginger snaps, shortbread cookies, and lemon cookies. So without further ado, here we go with the top five. Unlike Tiffany, we'll start at number five.
Whatever.
Number five. Number five. Sugar cookie did, in fact, make the list. But it's at number five. If you have a good one, a store-bought one's, of course, not very good. But if you hand make a sugar cookie, I feel like there's potential there for a sugar cookie.
It's basic. It's the most basic of cookies.
It's a waste of calories and sugar intake.
I think the batter's better than the cookie, probably.
Yes.
Ooh, I'd probably eat
that. That's fair, actually. That's fair. So that is number five. Sugar cookie did make the list. You know, I had to make the list in honor of National Sugar Cookie Day. So that is coming at number five. Here we go with number four.
Number four.
At number four, this one actually, until I remembered what my number two was going to be, this one was going to be number two. But number two, a good old-fashioned peanut butter cookie. Why are you laughing, Bo?
Peanut butter cookie?
Can I ask a question real quick?
Of course.
These are kind of bland.
These are
the back two are pretty bland. Well, how many cookies variations?
I love
are
a
there?
Proper peanut butter
but
cookie.
These Thank all you, sound Rob. Very generic, and I'm asking you: are you putting like chocolate chip cookie with M&M's on it or Oreos
you don't need
on
to
here?
Do chocolate chips
see,
and M&M's.
See, that's actually a really good question. I'm glad you asked that because I thought about getting real fancy, but at that point, if you're getting, I wanted to keep it generic.
Just generic types of cookies.
Yeah, generic types of cookies.
If you get off the rails, we'll never get to number one.
I was just asking the clarification.
It's a good clarification. I'll say this. It's a good clarification because you can get very creative with cookies, and you can almost make your own favorite type of cookie. Look, you can make an M&M Oreo chocolate chip cookie if you want.
But now you're hosting a segment, so I'm going to keep us on track. Let's keep it moving.
All right.
Number three.
So I have peanut butter cookies at number four. Here's number three.
Number three.
Another variation of a peanut butter cookie, but different. Peanut blossoms. If you are unaware of what a peanut blossom is, it is the, and they have different names for them too, so you guys probably call them by a different name. It's the peanut butter cookie with a Hershey Kiss in the middle. It's that one.
Yeah, I didn't know they were called blossoms.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
I don't know if that's the official name for it, but
this list is like a little, I don't know. What else you got for us?
I mean, you know. I
like the destination cookie. You I know eat how, your way to that chocolate in the middle.
There you go. I feel like Mike Johnson now. You guys, list is being hated already.
Welcome.
Mike Johnson, you can have your job back when you come back, bro. All right, here's number two.
Number two.
We broke his spirit.
It is. It's gone now. Number two. This one, I was trying to remember, and I couldn't remember for the life of me the name of this cookie, so I had to, like, look it up as best I could, but I finally found the name of it, and I don't know how I forgot it, but I really couldn't remember the name of the nut, but white chocolate macadamia nut.
Yeah, that's okay. We're getting respectable now.
Okay, so that's at my number two. You could make an argument for number one, but I have it at a respectable number two because, I mean, if this cookie is made right, it's just, it is.
It is, but you need to add, like, I've had it with peanut butter, like, chocolate, peanut butter, like, chips, and peanut butter globs, whatever you want to call them, and chocolate chips. That is a delicious cookie.
That's interesting. I would definitely try that. But if you get this, if you make it right, it is the perfect ratio of sweet and savory. So it hits every time, especially warm coming out of the oven. Nothing too much better than a good white chocolate macadamia nut. Other than this, and that gets us to number one. And I already know for this one, you guys are going to hate me for it.
You're going to get ripped over the coals?
I'm going to get ripped over this one. I already know. Here's number one.
Number one.
A good old-fashioned chocolate chip cookie. Nothing beats a classic.
I thought you weren't going to have
it on
the
list. I got no problem with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who has a problem with that?
Oh, okay, good.
Especially soft right out of the oven?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I always rub it
on my torso. That's how good it is.
I always see memes on Twitter where it's like nothing beats a chocolate chip cookie, a medium rare chocolate chip cookie or something like that. It was pretty funny. Or no, I say
medium
boneless.
Medium rare.
No. They say boneless.
Soft, like,
they say boneless.
It's something the kids are probably talking about these days, but I can interpret it. Because I'm kind of I'm still a youth.
And
though
I mess it up, they say boneless. Decipher. Nothing better than a boneless chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, also known as soft and chewy. I mean, what the hell are we doing? Boneless. I mean,
it's the kids. It's the kids.
It's what the youth call it, but you know I'm going to keep you hip on this show.
I'm never going to a good chocolate chip cookie. It's not. Rock hard is the ultimate cookie. I mean, there's no beating.
I like a little, like, I'm okay with the brown edges and then the ooey gooey center.
That's fine. Yeah, a little bit of crisp on the outside and then, like I said, warm on the inside.
When we were in high school, we had a vending machine. It wasn't like back in the day. Now they have all kinds of vending machines. We had like a vending machine that had grandma's chocolate chip cookies.
Those things have gotten smaller and smaller, too. They used to be so big. They're awesome.
They used to be huge in a two-pack, and I would get those every day with like a Mountain Dew. holy shnikes, they were so good. So good.
You just eat boringly healthy, though, between
those. Wait, him?
Yeah, the grandma's cooking Mountain Dew.
That's quite a combination right there.
It sounds like one of my meals occasionally.
So that's our top five.
That's our top five. I will recap. Number five, sugar cookies. It is National Sugar Cookie Day. So number five, sugar cookies. Number four, peanut butter cookies, just straight up peanut butter cookies. Number three, peanut butter blossoms, the peanut butter cookie with the Hershey Kiss in the middle. At number two, white chocolate macadamia nut. And at number one, a good old-fashioned classic chocolate chip cookie.
I mean,
nothing's better.
Look, I'm not going to – this is a Top 5 Tuesday. Yeah, I have to criticize it. This is pretty weak.
You don't
and
have
I'll to. Never make, I'll never make a list that will be open for critique. But I will say you played it safe. Like, you went with cookies. You could have picked pizza toppings. You could have talked about – Hawaiian pizza, like pineapple pizza. Like, you could have ventured into those waters, but you played it safe with cookies. But
depending on how you cook the pineapple, it's not
National Pineapple on Pizza Day?
I don't care what day it is. These food holidays, Ridiculous, except for National Donut Day.
I feel like Pizza Day is like 3 times a year.
That's acceptable.
And, yeah, sugar cookies are garbage, dude.
Haggis Day coming up in August.
You want to weigh in on Dylan's cookie list?
Should have been Oreos on there.
Nutter Butters.
These are all like homemade cookies.
Yeah, these are like homemade.
I understand.
All right, well, call us 404-726-0929, or perhaps you have thoughts about Bijan being ranked number 6 going into the season when it comes to running backs. That was per the ESPN survey that we discussed earlier. Give us a shout on anything you like. Wake up calls next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's more than just sports talk. This is the morning shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up
on the morning shift.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift, and usually this is the time when you hear the soft voice of Mike Johnson, or maybe even
we're
Robbie
dialed
T.
up with Dylon. Yep, you know what? Let's tell people how things work. You know, this is something I was supposed to go. Can you do this?
I was tired.
I got another gig I have to do. I was tired. Dylon, can you just do this?
And I got you.
I was thrown off to start the segment because I kept looking at Tiffany to bring us back, and then you start talking, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here?
Why would I talk? Go on, Dylan. Carry on.
Anywho, I am going to come in, and I'm going to bring you all a Top 5 Tuesday. Mike Johnson usually does a great job with these lists, but today I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path when it comes to a Top 5 list. Mike usually goes somewhere in the sports room. He has done, I believe, 1, maybe 2 food top fives before, if I'm not mistaken. But I wanted to go with the food top five today.
I tried that time tonight.
Oh, and then you started with number one.
I started with number one.
Yeah,
do you have honorable mentions? Where is the food? What kind of food? What is...
So, I'm glad you asked that question, Bo. In honor of National Sugar Cookie Day today, I'm going to go with a
what an awful
cookie
national holiday.
Top five. Yeah, the national holidays are fun.
We always have days for something.
We're already ripping your top five.
No, well, you don't know if sugar cookies are in the top five or not.
Okay,
that's for me to know and you to find out. It's my favorite cookie. So
sugar cookie is?
No, I don't. Well, you got to find out.
Wait,
you got to find out.
I'm sorry, dude. We'll all keep cutting. Keep going. We're in it.
You all can tweet at me at _DylanMatthews. Tweet at the show account on X as well, or Twitter, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, post it on there. Make sure
at 929 Morning Shift. I will post it there, the top five list. I'll put the honorable mentions on there as well. And I will start, as a matter of fact, with the honorable mentions that I have. So I'll just roll these off real quick, and you guys keep your thoughts on the honorable mentions afterwards. In honorable mentions, I have oatmeal raisin. Not because I don't really like raisins, but oatmeal raisin cookie is okay.
You know what? I like oatmeal raisin cookie.
And I know they're popular, so I put it in honorable mention.
My grandmother used to make homemade oatmeal cookies, but she always had a chocolate chip in the middle.
That's a chocolate chip. Chocolate chip oatmeal cookies.
Oatmeal raisins, but they had one chocolate chip in the middle. It's perfect.
That's
like one giant chocolate chip.
Yeah, pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I would actually be down to try that. So oatmeal raisin is an honorable mention. Snickerdoodles, those are honorable mentions as well. Good snickerdoodle is pretty good, in my opinion. I'm not a huge fan of like ginger stuff. So like ginger snaps are okay to me if it's not too gingery. But I put a ginger snap on there.
I'm desperate.
Shortbread cookies and then lemon cookies. I have a quick story about lemon cookies, by the way. When I was in Michigan, a week or so ago, my uncle's fiance brought over some lemon cookies that she handmade. I don't usually like lemon desserts, but when I tell you that was the absolute best lemon cookie I've ever had in my entire life. It wasn't too lemony. It was a perfect amount of lemon, perfect amount of like sugar cookie
perfect
as
ratio.
Well. It was the perfect ratio. It was such a good lemon cookie. But those are the honorable mentions. Oatmeal raisins, snickerdoodles, ginger snaps, shortbread cookies, and lemon cookies. So without further ado, here we go with the top five. Unlike Tiffany, we'll start at number five.
Whatever.
Number five.
Number five. Sugar cookie did in fact make the list. But it's at number five though. It's at number five. If you have a good one, a store-bought one's of course not very good. But if you hand make a sugar cookie, I feel like there's potential there for a sugar cookie.
It's basic. It's the most basic of cookies.
It's a waste of calories and sugar intake.
I think the batter's better than the cookie, probably.
Yes.
Ooh, I'd probably eat the batter.
That's fair, actually. That's fair. So that is number five. Sugar Cookie did make the list. You know, I had to make the list in honor of National Sugar Cookie Day. So that is coming at number five. Here we go with number four.
Number four.
At number four, this one actually, until I remembered what my number two was going to be, this one was going to be number two. But number two, a good old-fashioned peanut butter cookie. Why are you laughing, Bo?
Peanut butter cookie?
Can I ask a question real quick?
Of course.
These are kind of bland.
These are
the back two are pretty bland. Well, how many cookies variations?
I love
are
a
there?
Proper peanut butter
but
cookie.
These Thank all you, sound Rob. Very generic, and I'm asking you: are you putting like chocolate
well,
chip
let's,
cookie
let's,
with
let's
M&Ms just, on it or Oreos
oh, you don't need
on
to
here?
Do chocolate chips
see,
with M&Ms.
See, I'm actually glad. That's actually a really good question. I'm glad you asked that because I thought about getting real fancy, but at that point, if you're getting, I wanted
you
to keep it generic.
They're just generic types of cookies.
Yeah,
okay.
Generic
okay.
types of cookies.
Get off the rails, we'll never get to number one.
I was just asking the clarification.
Good clarification. I'll say this. It's a good clarification because you can get very creative with cookies, and you can almost make your own favorite type of cookie.
Look,
you can make an M&M Oreo chocolate
show,
chip cookie
but now
if you want.
You're hosting a segment, so I'm going to keep us on track. Let's keep it moving.
All right.
Number three.
So I have peanut butter cookies at number four. Here's number three.
Number three.
Number three. Another variation of a peanut butter cookie, but different. Peanut blossoms. If you are unaware of what a peanut blossom
is,
it is the, and they have different names for them too, so you guys probably call them by a different name. It's the peanut butter cookie with a Hershey Kiss in the middle. It's that one.
Yeah, I didn't know they were called blossoms.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
I don't know if that's the official name
so far
for
this
it.
This list is like a little,
I don't know.
Let's, what else you got for us?
I mean, you know. I
like the destination cookie.
I know.
Eat your way to that chocolate in the middle.
There you go. I feel like Mike Johnson now. You guys, list is being hated already.
Welcome.
Mike Johnson, you can have your job back when you come back, bro. All right, here's number two.
Number two.
We broke his spirit.
It is. It's gone now. Number two. This one, I was trying to remember, and I couldn't remember for the life of me the name of this cookie, so I had to, like, look it up as best I could, but I finally found the name of it, and I don't know how I forgot it, but I really couldn't remember the name of the nut, but white chocolate
macadamia
nut.
Yes, that's okay. We're getting respectable now.
Okay, so that's at my number two. You could make an argument for number one, but I have it at a respectable number two because, I mean, if this cookie is made right, it's just, oh, it is.
It is, but you need to add, like, I've had it with peanut butter-like chocolate, peanut butter-like chips, and peanut butter globs, whatever you want to call them, and chocolate chips.
That
is a delicious
That's
cookie.
Interesting. I would definitely try that. But if you get this, if you make it right, it is the perfect ratio of sweet and savory. So it hits every time, especially warm coming out of the oven. Nothing too much better than a good white chocolate macadamia nut. Other than this, and that gets us to number one. And I already know for this one, you guys are going to hate
You're
me for it.
You're going to get ripped over the coals?
I'm going to get ripped over this one. I already know. Here's number one.
Number one.
A good old-fashioned chocolate chip cookie. Nothing beats
a
classic.
I thought you weren't going to have
that. I got no problem with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who has a problem with that?
Oh, okay, good.
Especially soft right out of the oven?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I always rub
it on my torso. That's how good it is.
I always see memes on Twitter where it's like nothing beats a chocolate chip cookie, a medium rare chocolate chip cookie or something like that. It was pretty funny. Or no, I say
medium
boneless.
Medium rare.
No. They say boneless.
Soft. Like,
they say boneless.
It's something the kids are probably talking about these days, but I can interpret it. Because I'm kind of I'm still a youth.
And
I
mess it up. They say boneless. Decipher. Nothing better than a boneless chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, also known as soft and chewy. I mean, what the hell are we doing? Boneless.
It's the kid.
That's what
it's the kids.
It's what the youth call it. But I'm gonna keep you hip on this show.
I'm never gonna a good chocolate chip cookie. That's not. Rock hard is the ultimate cookie. I mean, there's no beating.
I like a little, I'm okay with the brown edges and then the ooey gooey center.
That's fine. Yeah, a little bit
bad?
Of crisp on the outside and then, warm on the inside.
When we were in high school, we had a vending machine. It wasn't like back in the day. Now they have all kinds of vending machines. We had a vending machine that had grandma's chocolate chip cookies.
Those things have gotten smaller and smaller, too. They used to be so big.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
They used to be huge in a two-pack, and I would get those every day with a Mountain Dew. holy shnikes, they were so good. So good.
You just eat boringly healthy, though, between
those. Wait, him?
Yeah, the grandma's cooking Mountain Dew.
That's quite a combination right there.
It sounds like one of my meals occasionally.
So that's our top five.
That's our top five. I will recap. Number five, sugar cookies. It is national. It is National Sugar Cookie Day. So number five, sugar cookies. Number four, peanut butter cookies, just straight up peanut butter cookies. Number three, peanut butter blossoms, the peanut butter cookie with the Hershey Kiss in the middle. At number two, white chocolate macadamia nut. And at number one, a good old-fashioned classic chocolate chip cookie.
I mean,
nothing's better.
Look, I'm not going to... This is a top five Tuesday. Yeah, I have to criticize it. This is pretty weak.
You don't
and
have
I'll
to.
Never make, I'll never make a list that will be open for critique, but I will say you played it safe. Like, you went with cookies. You could have picked pizza toppings. You could have talked about Hawaiian pizza, like pineapple pizza.
Like,
you could have ventured into those waters, but you played it safe with cookies.
But depending on how you cook the pineapple,
National Pineapple on Pizza Day?
I don't care what day it is. These food holidays, ridiculous, except for National Donut Day.
I feel like Pizza Day is like three times a year.
That's acceptable.
And, sugar cookies are garbage, dude.
Haggis Day coming up in August.
You want to weigh in on Dylan's cookie list?
Should have been Oreos on there.
Nutter Butters.
But these are all like homemade cookies.
These are homemade.
I understand.
All right, well, call us 404-726-0929, or perhaps you have thoughts about Bijan being ranked number six going into this season when it comes to running backs. That was per the ESPN survey that we discussed earlier. Give us a shout on anything you like. Wake up calls next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.